I'd like to invite children to come
down and Mary. Keep climbing. That's good. You guys are doing great. Yeah, you can make room there. Squeeze one way or the other. Make some room for them. Good. Thank you.
Yep. There you go. I'm just going to go in the pocket or something. No, it doesn't open. All right. I'll just do this. Okay. Well, I have some very exciting news today, and I need someone that can write numbers really well. One of you two? Yeah. Come here. I need you to take this marker and write the numbers that I tell you. 5, 5, 0. Okay. Oh, can you write it bigger, right, so people can see? A big 5. There. 5, 5, 0. And then I want you to write the word plus right over there. And then I want you to take this tape and put that, like, in the corner over there. So, we are going to add $550 to the Well Fund through generous donations for our church. So, we want to thank everybody for doing that, and what that means for all of you kids is that, or anyone in the church that's reading, your books are going to not equal $1 anymore, they're going to equal $2 plus some cents, right?
Yes.
So. Okay. Thank you. And so that means more stones will be rising. I wanted to bring your attention. Ms. Tibbetts went to, and did Candace? Well, we got some new books. I don't know how they got here. But if you have not read Anne of Green Gables, written in 1906 or 8, 1908 is a beautiful, beautiful story of adoption and redemption. And I just finished it and I cried. It was so good. And I love this story. But if any adult hasn't read this book, please read this book. Or any kid. And then we also have Encyclopedia Brown for you. And just so you know, we have Little House on the Prairie and The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And these series are in the back, so please make yourself available to them. And I have a lot of books for adults. If you don't know, on the teen side, if you haven't read these books, I never was a reader growing up, and I enjoyed every single one of them with my kids. So bring your sheets in so we can add the stones. But it's good news for today, okay? Thank you.
That's good. Very good.
I'm going to pick on somebody today because I like doing that. This is what I really like. So I taught him all my nasty stuff, and Ben volunteered. So come on up, Ben. He didn't know he volunteered. You can see the shock in his face. And I said, Ben, have we been teasing people? Do we know how to do that? Oh, yes. And who's one of the most fun people you tease regularly? There she is. She volunteered too. Come on up. There we go. See what? Anyway, she's fun to tease. And I want you to pretend that I'm the dad and I'm driving in the car on the wrong side of the road. Notice I'm on the right side of the head. And Ben decides to tease his sister. And he is going to poke when I'm not trying. And guess what she does? Oh, she goes, thank you very much. I really appreciate you poking me in the arm like that. And I think it's so nice that you do that. It's such a friendly, loving thing. What does she really do? She shouts out, I'm counting on you, girls. Step up.
Stop.
Yeah, louder. What do you want? Stop what? We got to go to the bathroom again? What? Oh, all right, all right. Ben, knock it off. Ben, do it again. Harder, Ben. I want to hear some noise out of that girl, Ben. Ben, I can't hear any noise out of her. Pull her louder. Hit him back. Everybody knows in real life that's just the way it would be, because when I'm driving, I don't put up with anything. So anyway, I'm driving. Ben, the two of you guys, knock it off. Ben, push her really hard. See, he's got it in him. I know I taught him well. Yeah, he just slammed you against the door. Now you go, Dad, what? Ben's continuing to?
Push me.
And?
Poke me.
And? Pick on me. That's good. I knew we'd get it in there somewhere. I didn't know what pick meant, you know. Have you ever seen that? That can be that way. And then the dad goes, Ben, knock it off or I'll stop this car and pull your head off your shoulders or something. Then dad keeps driving, right? Now I want to show you what the sermon about it is about today. Ready? We're starting all over again, and we're driving in the car, and she's recovered from being slammed against the door, and Ben decides to, she yells,
stop!
One more and you're out of this car. Shout it out.
Stop.
Stop the car. You're out of here, man. I don't know how you're getting home, but it's over. Sit down. All right, let's say goodbye to Ben. Bye, Ben. Now, did you notice the difference? The difference is he kept doing it because I let him keep doing it when I finally said, that's it. Now, obviously, I know as a dad, I wouldn't really lock him outside the door and leave him on the side of the street. I'd probably sell him. But he'd come as a good price. He's a hard worker and everything. No, but what happens, we sometimes think that God's going to grade us on a curve and he's going to let us do the same thing over and over and over again. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't see you do any of those things, Ben. Go ahead and keep hitting your sister and teasing her. Shove her against the door again. Maybe she'll get hurt this time. Push her harder. God doesn't do that. In my sermon today, I'm going to be talking about that to the big people. Because sometimes we think God is like somebody who's driving a car who really isn't paying attention, and the Bible is filled with some very blunt stuff. And it isn't that God doesn't love me, it's that he loves Ben and he loves Ellie both. And he cannot let Ben keep picking her on her or hurting her and say it's okay. So finally, God looks at you guys and he says, not just to you, to us big people too, he said, I will tell you what I want you to do, and I want you to do that. Now, raise your hand if you're perfect. I got two perfect people in the room. You parents are so lucky. How many of you have perfect moms and dads? You got two of them. That's good. That's a good start. That is wonderful. Yes. Are they perfect? Do they ever do anything wrong? No. Wow. Sermon's over. I'm sorry. Anyway, in the sermon today, we're going to be talking about the fact that I'm not perfect. I'm not the perfect dad. And I never really took any of my kids and left them on the side of the road. But I did pull over, stop the car, and gave my Ben a spanking right on the spot. I said, get out of the car. You're getting spanked. I told you leave your sister alone. And guess what? From that point forward, when I told Ben to quit picking on his sister, he stopped. You see? So God wants us to be able to do two things. Number one, he wants us to listen when he tells us to stop or to start something. He says, if I tell you to do it, I want you to do it. And the second thing he wants us to learn is when I'm taking Ben out of the car and I said, Ben, why are you about to get spanked? And he'd say, because I was teasing my sister and I was being really mean to her and you told me to stop. Do you understand why you're getting spanked? To remind me to leave my sister alone when you tell me that. Two things, the ability to recognize when I've done something wrong and apologize for it and understand that. So that's what's going to go on in the sermon. A lot of commands today. And the weird thing about commands, when we get them, we sometimes want to do it more. My mom, has your mom ever made chocolate chip cookies? I love chocolate chip cookie dough. Can anyone eat that likes chocolate chip cookie dough? And I love mama going, Bruce, you leave the chocolate chip cookie dough alone. So I'd wait till she was out of the room. I'd sneak over to the dish, stick my finger in, and chew on chocolate chip cookie dough. Okay. Was I being honest with my mom? No. Was I doing something wrong? Yeah. One day I got my fingers caught in the mixer that was going, and they got all ground up. Ruined the whole batch of cookie dough. Ruined the whole batch of cookie dough. And my mom figured out I'd been stealing cookie dough, even though she told me not to. So there are different ways that we learn our lessons that we have to learn. Stopping by the side of the road and telling Ben, knock it off. Or sometimes something bad can happen in our life where God says, I told you, don't do that. And finally, we start to learn. Big people or little people. All right? Here we go. And you girls have to move so I can set this right in front of the candy lady. There you go. Ladies first. Ellie, pick out two nice things for Ben. He was a good teaser. Thank you, Ben, for volunteering. Next time we'll rehearse that.
Thank you,
Pastor. You're welcome, honey. Hello. You're welcome. In Matthew, it says, don't think for a moment that I came to abolish the law. Abolish it means to take it away, to tell you you don't have to obey it, okay? God's mercy doesn't abolish law. God's mercy means I don't leave my kid on the side of the road. But it doesn't mean I won't discipline them if they need to be disciplined. And so in that text in Matthew, you start to understand. We read through all the commandments, and I go, those are powerfully blunt, straightforward things that sometimes after a while we just neglect to recognize and understand. And even though there's lots of stuff written about the commandments, and they're part of the catechism, they're part of confessions, all kinds of places, we still have this unbelievable ability to go, God's not going to do anything. My dad lets me poke, jab, shove, push my sister. Therefore, I can behave that way. And that creeps into all of our lives. It's not just something a little child can do. It's something we all do in the way we live and act and behave. So it goes on in this again in Matthew. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I have given you a set of rules and laws out of the graciousness of God's heart. The commandments aren't sent there to hurt us, okay? It's like, don't go down this road, the bridge is out. Oh, I hate God's commandments. What do you want to do? I want to drive down this road and wonder why my life sucks. And I go, is that possible? Sure. We can do that as kids, teenagers, adults, old people. It doesn't matter. We think we can break the rule and that somehow you're never going to get your fingers caught in the beaters. I had to go to the doctor, get this huge bandage all over my fingers, try and put everything back together as best they could, and feel sorry because it ruined the cookie dough, and put all that, and that was that moment in my life, and I still have pictures of it that my mom took to remind me of what an idiot I was and all wise part of what she was doing, which I thought at first she was just stealing from me, right? Mom, you just don't want me to enjoy any cookie dough. You're a mean mom. Don't you talk that way to God sometimes? God, you don't know what it's like to be 14, 17, 12, 9, 3. You don't know what it's like to live with a man like this or a woman like that. And you come up with that line and that excuse, and you start functioning like a normal kid trying to justify stealing chocolate chip cookie dough out of the dish. And you understand, I haven't changed from that stupid boy that wanted to take cookie dough. There's a part of me that is just as naive, just as foolish, and capable of that kind of wickedness. And I have the struggle sometimes that you think as we grow up and grow older, you wouldn't have anymore. But that's the problem. We sometimes experience this kind of adult excuse making, right? I could justify taking the cookie dough. I'm hungry. There's lots of cookie dough there. Mom won't even miss two or three fingers or a handful. And, you know, all the other things you can come up with. And now you get older, no one will notice, no one will hear. No, it doesn't matter. It will all turn out okay. You don't understand my situation. And this makes me feel really good. Chocolate chip cookie dough made me feel good. How can you not feel good chewing down chocolate chip cookie dough? And that, you know, chocolate chips and that sweet stuff, and put all of that there. I go, it makes me feel good to eat chocolate chip cookie dough. You mean you're that stupid? Yes. And so I go, here's Jesus looking at this. I came to fulfill this law. I'm doing something for you, Bruce. In the backdrop, I have to keep in mind the Ten Commandments. I got to be very alert and aware. Thou shalt have no other gods before you, Bruce, not even cookie dough. Okay? And for goodness sakes, don't worship, honor, praise, or anything else the false gods that are out there. You mean like cookie dough, Lord? I'm picking something in a sense you're supposed to laugh at because you see how foolish and how shallow it is. I am that foolish and shallow. Unfortunately, I'm going to guess you got the same struggles with foolishness and shallowness also. That you're as naive about the cookie dough in your life as I am when I was 5 or 10 years old whenever I took it. And so you begin to understand that there's this thing going on as Jesus is talking now. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, verse 18 in Matthew now. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest letter or stroke of the pen will be by any means disappear. Ben, leave your sister alone. She whines again. He teases her again. I stop the car, I take him out, and I deal with him. You do it, and when I tell you, Ben, you do what I tell you. Oh, you're such a mean dad. Yep. You're so unfair. Nope. I told you to leave your sister alone. You heard and you understood what I told you to do, and you did not do it. If I let you keep doing it, excuse me, you're going to get a cough. If I let you keep doing it, your sister gets irritated. and your cough gets worse. It'll come back. Well, I got to resort to a cough drop, I guess. My apologies to all of you. See what you kids have done to me? I was a good driver, and then you kept making noise and teasing your sister. And she kept whining because I can't stand that whining. It's okay, Dad, we can't stand you coughing. So into this situation that we're dealing with, you start to understand God has the backdrop of the Ten Commandments. And God goes, not one jot, one little tittle, one mark, one dash. None of it's going to change. Now, I'm not thinking like God when I discipline my child. But I am remembering what God said. And he points it out here. I didn't come to abolish any laws. You can say whatever you want to say. I'm taking you out. I told you no adultery. I'm going to deal with you in this area of your life. I love you. But Ben, I'm not letting you get away with it. Well, that's not fair. Ben, who controls your fingers? I do. Well, Ben, do you think you can figure out how to leave your sister alone? Yeah. Then do it. Now, in a sense, that's a real-life parental situation of some kind. Okay? And depending upon how serious the parents are in that situation, the kids respond with varying degrees of ability to stop. The first time I pulled the car over and I happened to find a safe place to do that and took the kid out and dealt with him, changed the whole tone inside the car. It changed the whole ability of me to drive now without having to listen to the distraction. He won't leave me alone. He's about touching my leg. He took my book, etc., etc., etc. And so when God looks at you and he's saying, I'm doing this for your own good, I want you and I want your sister, the equivalent, to do well. I told you these things, and you start to look down that list where it talks about all the different things. I don't want you to even make an idol for yourself. And you kind of go, well, I don't make any idols. And I go, yes, you do, Bruce. For you at that moment, your idol was chocolate chip cookie dough. And your disobedience was so justified because it felt good. It made you feel good. And what is the worst that could happen? And you kind of go, is this as simple as chocolate chip cookie dough? Well, yes and no. Right? Big people, big sins. Little people, little sins, maybe. But you begin to understand there's this reality of what's happening. And so he goes on from there and it says, till everything is accomplished. Verse 19 now. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand how serious God is about this? He stopped the car. He's taken me out of the back seat. And he's told me, you so much as justify and rationalize and make excuses for your evil, you're going to be dealing with me. What do you want, God? I want you to recognize it's evil. I want you to confess it as sin. And I want you to grow and pursue that which is righteous, good, and beneficial. And I go, that's how simple God's answer is. And he grabs you right now. And I go, are any of you in need of being the car stopped and reach in, pull you out of the car? I mean, is the Holy Spirit going, he's talking to you today. I know he's talking to me. I mean, I don't preach this sermon to you and go, oh, what a bunch of sinners sit in front of me, like somehow I don't have the same dilemmas, problems, and excuse making. All right? I am as shallow as chocolate chip cookie dough and as complicated as I can hide anything with a fake face. I bet you're the same way. You're capable of all the above. And so into this situation, we start realizing how serious God is. When I tell you I am serious about it, in the movie The Sound of Freedom, that if you've ever got a chance to watch that, please get a chance, go do it. The elders all went to it on Tuesday night this last week. And in that, there is this particular conversation where one guy is talking to another man and says, if God has told you to do that, you do it. And the guy was trying to decide because it involved related to his job, staying in his job, other things like that. But he felt the call of God to go and rescue these children who are being sold and treated like trash and all the other wicked things that are represented out there in the wickedness of our world. And because he stepped into that, hundreds and now thousands of children have been rescued from the conditions that are going on even now around the world. It's a $150 billion organizational finance thing. There's money in that. And I go, do you understand how evil can be? And do you understand that sometimes God says, Bruce, fight. Sometimes he says, stop the car, get out and do what you have to do. Or he stops the car, takes me outside and says, I'm dealing with you. When I tell you to do something, you do it. And that becomes part of the process. So we go on from there. And it says this. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom. Now verse 20, will be called least. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So God is not a God of compromise. God is a God of forgiveness. Understand? Compromise is when I justify a little bit of sinning. Right? Compromise is, what's Dad going to do? And I can get away, if I hit her too hard, then she'll yell extra loud. But compromise makes me think, I can keep doing this. And God whispers to you, do you understand what I said to you, Ben? What do you mean? If I have to deal with you, the car is stopping right now. Get out of the car. We're talking. It's either going to happen right now, or we're not going to put up with this. And you go, does God talk like that? Yes. What does God give me when I repent? What does God give me when I say I need to be ashamed of the poking and the compromise that I allow creeping into my life, justifying myself in a particular sin that I find particularly enjoyable? Do you like coveting? You know, why can't I have a house like? Do you like stealing time and justifying it at work? Do you like, you understand? Do you like the thoughts of immorality that you're capable of putting through your head back and forth? Is that where you get the little poke of compromise? And you go, well, it's not too bad yet. It's not that serious yet. And God's going, I'm knocking on your head, Bruce. Knock it off. And so into this situation, Jesus comes and he points this out and he says, whoever teaches the commands that I've given you, you'll be called great in the kingdom. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the righteousness of the Pharisees, in one sense, was real. I know we badmouth them and they deserve it. But on the other hand, they did actively try to behave themselves. And they carried on with at least the allusion to the culture in the world that they were behaving themselves and doing righteous things. Try to remember, not all the Pharisees were as wicked as some of the Pharisees were in Scripture. So in this particular moment, Jesus turns to them and says, you're going to have to be so good that you make the Pharisees look like they're right from the pit of hell, which in most people's minds back then was like they were like holy people. Why is he doing that? He's trying to teach you the next point, which ultimately is the reason the law does what it does to you and me. It breaks me. I don't do these things well. I don't fight the poking. I don't fight or quit the teasing. I don't always stop from eating the chocolate chip cookie dough. And what God's trying to get me to understand is I will grab you by both shoulders and shake you till you understand I'm dead serious. This, you can never tell where it's going to end up. Like I told you, you can always pick your sin. You can never pick your consequence. I never thought it would turn out that way. I never thought Dad would get in a car accident because he's been distracted by us fighting in the back seat. I never thought Mom and Dad and the marriage and other things would end up in the circumstances I thought I could compromise. God looks at you and me and says, no compromise. Forgiveness, mercy, love, I got that for you. But I don't have compromise. So don't play games with God. And so you begin to understand, as simple as a children's sermon can be, as simple as a chocolate cookie dough illustration can be, you and I begin to understand, Lord, get me past that so that I recognize my sin in my life, I repent of it, I deal with it, and I ask for your help to overcome it. And in that moment, you will understand what Jesus was trying to communicate to the people that were listening to him preach on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, I haven't come to dissolve the law. Not one commandment's been abolished. But in Christ, who carried my sins and accomplished it all, my forgiveness has been given to me by the mercy of God. Dad takes me out of the car, said, you deserve a beating right now, Bruce. And he says, I'm not going to give it to you, but I'm dead serious about you stopping. Do you need your spanking? No, sir, I don't. Then get back in the car and treat your sister the way you know I want you to treat her. We get back in the car, and with both the threat and the encouragement and the discipline, my life begins to change in the way I treat my sister, and I stop poking her and whatever else I'm doing. And so I go, here is God speaking through and with Jesus Christ at this point, going, the law is the law. It's there to protect you. It's there to watch over you. There's something as small as a jerk of a brother teasing a sister by poking her, jabbing her, and shoving her, grabbing her papers, taking her crayon, or anything else. I go, God says, I don't like that. Stop it now. And you begin to go, yes, Lord. And that becomes the call of God in this section. Yes, Lord, help me to be a different husband. Yes, Lord, change my heart as a mother, as a wife. Yes, Lord, help me to be a different brother, a kinder sister. Help me to not whine, yell, shout, pout, all the things that we're all capable of. Teach me, Lord, not to be as foolish as my pastor was with chocolate chip cookie dough. Pray with me. Lord, I love you because you put up with us. I love you because you rescue a sinner like me from the absolute foolishness of chocolate chip cookie dough. I love you because forgiveness is real when I come to you. I love you because I need it every day. And I love you because the emotion of love is the only thing I can express on how much you've done in my life and for me. Bless each of us with that kind of heart and attitude, Lord. Help us to understand the tenderness and love you have as you work in the middle of our lives and you carry out your discipline, your guidance, and your love for each one of us. Open the floodgates of heaven. Pour out healing, joy, and power into all of our lives today. We pray it in your name, Jesus. God's people say,